This is the UCLA Mindful Monday Meditation. Each week, Marvin G. Belzer, or one of our UCLA Mindful teachers, leads a 30-minute guided session offering a variety of themes and practices to cultivate self-awareness, emotion regulation, and increased well-being. Thanks for joining us.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Monday meditation. Good to be with you. If you're new to meditation, welcome. And we hope to give clear guidance about how we can meditate. And we don't have to merely pretend or play make-believe. We can actually do things with our minds, our attention that can be interesting and useful. One of the very interesting questions or areas of investigation can be our thoughts, you know, and often we'll be interested in meditation at some point because we notice that we're having thoughts that don't seem to be helping us. Our minds might be sort of running over material again and again in a way that it's like, oh, this isn't helping me, right? And so it is reasonable that mindfulness practice can help us with something like that. But one thing to keep in mind as we begin would be that we don't have to get rid of thoughts in order to meditate. I very often run into people who have tried to meditate in the past, and they say, you know, I tried to meditate for a while, but I couldn't clear my mind, and so I gave up. And you know, it's important to see that we don't have to try to clear our minds or measure our success or failure on that scale. It is a misconception about meditation that seems to be fairly pervasive, that if we're meditating properly, then suddenly we won't be thinking at all. And a couple of things on that. First of all, yes, there are times when we practice intensively and consistently where our minds are sort of free of thoughts for a while, maybe just a few seconds, maybe longer. You know, in my experience, they're often interrupted. Those kind of periods of quiet are often interrupted with the thought, I'm not thinking. Yeah, so that's interesting. But secondly, even trying to attain that sort of state isn't really at the top of our list relative to mindfulness practice. It can be pleasant. It can be part of being peaceful. We definitely can practice meditation, cultivate more calmness, clarity, and so forth, even when there's kind of a steady stream of thoughts happening. And what we do is we do practice paying attention so that even when there are thoughts running, we're focusing our attention somewhere else. And so we are indeed, we're not trying to squelch thoughts, but we're definitely working with our ordinary patterns of thoughts and not just engaging in them in the normal ways that we do going through the normal day. And number one then on that list is not giving as much priority to thoughts as we normally do. And so we turn our attention somewhere else. And so we turn our attention, for example, to the feel of the breath, and we'll start in a minute. Just the feel of the ordinary breath, or we can do standing, walking, meditation, focus on the sensations in the feet. I think for most Westerners, speaking generally, you know, focusing on the physical sensations is good, partly because we are so oriented to thinking about things, to being stimulated, to being interested and being entertained and so forth. And so that turning attention into our bodies is a great way, you know, giving priority to the sensations of the breath, not analyzing, not figuring it out, just the very humble, real sensations happening. That being said, we can also use thoughts as part of our meditation, and indeed we do. For example, how did you end up here how did you end up here today? It involves some thought, right? One way or another, maybe your mother told you to come here, but you heard her and then you did it, right? You thought about it, right? Likewise, when we start to meditate, we're kind of deciding to do something, and this involves thoughts. So in the midst of our practice, like, okay, let me try to practice this method, tuning into the breath. It involves thoughts happening quickly, but structuring what is happening in our experience. And then in those moments when we realize the attention has drifted from where we were trying to focus, well, there can be that recognition. Oh, I'm daydreaming, I'm planning. It can be useful to make that consciously part of the meditation, just maybe a quiet label, thinking, planning, worrying, and then redirecting the attention back. And so we are disrupting the ordinary flow of thoughts. And so we don't want to spend the time here simply going over our to-do list, even though there will be times where that comes to mind, right? When we notice that we're going over the to-do list for today or tomorrow, or whatever we notice that's happening. We simply recognize it's happening and then shift the attention back to the breath. And this might happen a lot, but we don't have to be in a hurry. When we notice frustration, okay, this also can be included in the meditation, just that recognition of the feel of the body with it, with an emotion and so forth. Okay, well, let's begin. Eyes can be open or closed. Might take a few deeper breaths as we begin, slightly deeper in breath and out breath. Maybe even a little sigh with the out breath. Letting the breath be normal. Notice what you can hear. So we'll take a minute just focusing on the sounds we can hear. Notice this is sort of easy in that we don't have to change anything in what we can hear. We don't have to try to hear everything or keep track or figure out something. Just moment after moment. Noticing some of the sounds taking place. So you can stay with sounds, come back to sounds as your home base if you wish. It's also good to practice with the physical, tangible sensations in our bodies. So when you wish, letting your attention settle into your body and noticing what is there to notice: head, shoulders, arms, hands, torso, legs, feet. So not trying to feel what we're supposed to feel or anything like that. Just what do you notice? Maybe a lot, maybe not so much. Doesn't matter. So we feel into our bodies, it can be natural to notice sensations connected with the breath. Just the normal breath that takes place. Slight rising, tensing in the abdomen, the chest with the in-breath. Falling, softening, dissolving with the out-breath. It's also a flow of fine sensations at the opening of the nose, the upper lip, as air comes in, as air leaves. These sensations tend to be pretty good for our purposes, as a home base, so to speak, for attention. So I invite you to decide where to place your attention in, attention abdomen, chest, or nose. Just knowing when the in-breath begins, when the out-breath begins. Keeping in mind that to do this, there may be things happening that are pulling at our attention, such as thoughts, or maybe there's pain somewhere in your body. So keep in mind that we can do this activity without getting everything else fixed. And I invite you to experiment with that. Just in these moments, where is the in, when is the in-breath beginning? What do I feel? The out-breath as it begins, unfolds. And admittedly, this can seem rather trivial activity, but it actually can be quite powerful and useful for us. If the breath itself is painful in some way, it doesn't feel quite right, we can use other things. We can go back to sounds or tune into sensations in our feet or hands. But we don't have to get it perfect. It's probably good enough. And then keep it in mind that we're not trying to be forceful or aggressive with our experience. We're not assuming that we'll clear our minds of thoughts. In those moments when thoughts have become the center of attention, it's perfectly intelligent, normal activity of our minds. And they might be pleasant, they might be unpleasant, either way. We just practice recognizing these are thoughts. We don't have to get rid of them, but we can get used to shifting our attention away back to the breath, maybe the next in-breath as it begins. So I invite you to explore this carefully. So thank you. Good to practice with you. I don't normally do this, but in case it's useful, sometimes it can be, for some ways of learning, it can be useful to see some words. So I'll share my screen and just go over some of these thoughts about thoughts and meditation. We do not have to clear our minds or squelch thoughts. I talked about that in the beginning. At the same time, we are intervening in our usual flow of thoughts. Just as we interrupt our usual flow of activities when we stop to meditate. What sort of intervention, interruption are we talking about? Well, simply the way we've just practiced, using the home base, finding a home base for attention, such as the breath, trying to keep the attention there, trying to notice when the attention has drifted, coming back, reconnecting with the home base. It can be good to see that this is an activity guided by thoughts, our intention to try and keep trying as we go along. And it's also good to see that this is an activity that interrupts the usual narrative flow, and it is something that we can practice. Additionally, we use thoughts in the meditation itself. And some examples, we can have some initial intentions as we begin. And I would encourage you to explore that a little bit if on your own, just like kind of as you begin. If your mother is making you do this, just recognize that my mother is making me do it. I hate it, but I have to do it. But if your mother isn't making you do it, why are you doing it? Right? So it can be good just to recognize that. And over time, you may find that there's kind of a little bit of an accumulation of thoughts that help you get into meditation. And that's certainly been the case for me. Secondly, at times we can use labeling, using thoughts as part of the practice, labeling the beginning of the in-breath in, out, or labeling what happens, you know, when our attention has drifted, thinking, planning, and so forth. So we can use thoughts there. It's a tool, so it can be helpful. We can practice other types of meditation that go well with mindfulness practice, kindness, compassion, are two examples. There are a number of others where we're basically, if we have a kind of a flow of thoughts that is insistent, it can be helpful just to shift that and replace it with a different flow of thoughts. There is a little reflection involved in recognizing emotions and practicing with them. And then post-meditative equipoise. The phrase post-meditative equipoise is a translation of a Tibetan term. I saw that phrase, you know, some many years ago, and it has become important for me at the end of the meditation. And so in my own daily practice, I will go through a rigmarole at the end that definitely has a sort of accumulated over the years of just helpful thoughts and so forth. In the text, it emphasizes this is part of the meditation. In this idea of post-meditative equipoise is it's part of the meditation, and there certainly can be just simple reflections that we can be inspired to include in our practice. So, for example, just doing some loving kindness meditation can be part of that, or forgiveness, right? Even if there's nothing on your mind, just kind of that recognition, if I've hurt or harmed anyone, I seek forgiveness. If anyone has hurt or harmed me, I seek to forgive them. If I've harmed myself, I seek to let go. You know, just things like that. So this is a longer lecture, I suppose. I haven't really talked about my own rigmarole in detail, other than Diana Winston, once we were talking and about these things. And so I actually spelled out the whole thing that I do. I don't honestly find it that, I don't think it would be that useful But forgiveness is one aspect of it. Just that would be one example. And so yeah, thank you for your attention. It's good to practice with you today. I will say, after 40 years of doing this, these issues remain very alive for me. There's no question that our minds can become more concentrated, which is what happens when we, or bring attention to the breath or some other home base like that, and just do it for a while. And say, when I kind of ratcheted up things a little bit this morning, I encourage you to try. It's like it can be good to get a little, push there, because it's like, oh yeah, I can observe the breath. But the idea is we really put effort in, like, okay, where is the in-breath starting? What does it feel like right now with this one? Right. And so kind of mustering that effort and putting effort in, it's like a game. It's like, what's that game that Simon Says? Did you play that game where Simon says, touch your nose. Simon says, scratch your ear. Touch your head. Whoops. Simon's, you're not supposed to do it if Simon didn't say it. That involves our attention, right? And it can be fun to play games like that. For many of us, this play with our attention can actually become quite enjoyable in itself. But of course, that is because it does give some good effects. So, thank you. We'll see you.
Thanks for listening to the UCLA Mindful Monday Meditation. For more information about our classes, workshops, and retreats, please visit uclahealth.org/UCLA Mindful. Join us each week for a new session on mindfulness.